Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Israel's prime minister and defense minister confirming Israel carried out what it calls a precise strike today in Doha, Qatar, targeting Hamas leaders based in Qatar for years. It comes as brokered talks continue for a Gaza ceasefire. In New York City, the United Nations beginning its annual session ahead of the General Assembly of World Leaders later this month. Secretary General Antonio Guterres calling it a setback for peace.
I condemn this flagrant violation of the sovereignty and territorial integrity of Qatar. All parties must work towards achieving a permanent ceasefire, not destroying it.
The U.S. says it was not involved in the strike. U.S. employers added far fewer jobs over a 12-month span than what was previously posted. The revised government statistics showing 911,000 fewer jobs created between April of 2024 to March of this year. The White House blaming the Biden administration. In California and central Nevada, dense smoke advisories remain. This is ABC News.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. We've got another name in the race for governor, and it's a big name in southeastern Wisconsin. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley is throwing his hat in the ring after Governor Tony Evers announced his retirement. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
The Milwaukee County executive is attempting to appeal to the rest of the state in his campaign announcement video posted this morning.
To the single mom in Eau Claire looking for affordable, dependable child care, I hear you. To the union worker in Sheboygan taking an extra shift today to make the end of the month a little bit easier, I see you. To the dad in Platteville working towards your degree after tucking your kids in good night, I am you. I'm David Crowley, and I'm running to be governor for all of us. Wisconsin, let's get to work.
David Crowley formally announced his run for governor, becoming the third Democrat to join the race following Governor Tony Evers' decision not to seek a third term. Crowley released a campaign video connecting his own experience with hardship as a child to the struggles many families still face today.
That boy who was homeless is a homeowner, where my wife Erica and I are raising our three daughters. My story is not unique. My story is Wisconsin's story.
Crowley says he's had success in job creation, cutting carbon emissions, and property tax relief while advocating for greater local government funding. Crowley took aim at Republicans and President Donald Trump, saying their leadership has brought chaos and division to the state. Crowley joins Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez and Ryan Cernat in competing for the Democratic nomination. Republicans Josh Shulman and Bill Berrien have officially declared their bids. Republican Representative Tom Tiffany is expected to announce soon. The primary election will be held in August, with November's general election deciding the next governor. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
And I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
Some injuries for the Packers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. The Packers have 14 players on the injury list following Sunday's win over the Lions. New additions include right tackle Zach Tom with a sore hip, left guard Aaron Banks listed with an ankle. The Packers host the Washington Commanders this Thursday night, kickoff at 7:15. On Monday Night Football, the Vikings beat the Bears in Chicago, 27-24. Baseball, the Brewers face the Rangers tonight in Arlington, Texas. The crew shut out by the Rangers last night, 5-0. Milwaukee's Jose Quintana had a no-hitter going until the fifth when Michael Hellman hit a grand slam with two outs. Pat Murphy.
You get two outs in the inning and make an 0-2 pitch that just doesn't get to where you want. Unfortunate, and a great credit to the Rangers hitter who drove in all five runs, I believe, tonight. Great credit to him. Credit to their starting pitching. Starting pitcher. He was fantastic. The catchers, I've always liked this kid. He really does a great job behind the dish.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly sunny and very pleasant today with highs scraping the mid-70s and a light south breeze. Overnight tonight, chances for spotty showers, and they're gone for tomorrow. Sticking with sunshine, highs return right back to the upper 70s. Behind that, 80s take over for the weekend. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 67 degrees.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5:30, we talk with the indomitable Stacey Abrams about how to build the big tent for Democrats in 2026 to return this country to the hands of working people. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
WMDX Madison, where biking in the snow is a personality trait.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, welcome to the second hour of our program. On the line with us, our old friend Cole Stangler, the journalist based out of Marseille, France, a contributor to The Guardian, The Nation, Jacobin, etc., also France 24 TV, covering politics and labor. He's author of the book Paris is Not Dead, Surviving Hyper-Gentrification in the City of Light. Cole Stangler, S-T-A-N-G-L-E-R, Cole, C-O-L-E, ColeStangler.com is his website, and also his Blue Sky handle. Cole, welcome back to the program. I understand the French government is, shall we say, going through a few things. You want to lay it out for us?
Yeah, thank you so much, as always, for having me, Tom. Yeah, so, you know, yesterday, Monday, we had this motion of no confidence, okay, in the National Assembly. And so the government no longer has a functioning majority. A majority of people in the Assembly voted against the Prime Minister. Prime Minister tendering now his resignation today on Tuesday. And it means now we sort of enter this period of uncertainty where we're waiting on President Macron to name a new prime minister. He says he's going to do that in the coming days. Could be very soon, could be in a couple of days. And then we're going to have to wait and see whether this new prime minister is going to be able to have a functioning majority in the assembly. But we're in a really serious political crisis. And there's now talk of potentially having to have new legislative elections, because if the new prime minister doesn't have a functioning majority, then you can't have a functioning government. And at that point, you have to have legislative elections. But maybe to take a step back, because it might not be so familiar to Americans how exactly the French constitution, how the French government works. But France is really what we call a semi-presidential system. So you have a president, okay, like in the United States, who's elected now every 5 years. That's Macron. He's been reelected. But you also have a parliament that's quite strong. So it's semi-presidential because according to the French constitution, it's the prime minister who dictates the policies of the nation, and the prime minister is accountable to the parliament. And so that's really where we're at today. And to kind of break things down, the issue we have is France doesn't only have, okay, this economic distrust of the government, unrest related to this budget, that the austerity budget that the Macron government and his prime minister tried to approve. You have a bigger democracy problem. That's what this is about. You have a serious democracy problem in France. And it comes down to what I was talking about, that difference between the president and the National Assembly. Macron now, for at least the last year, does not have a majority in the National Assembly, and yet he's sort of figured out ways to have prime ministers that are to his liking and that have been able to govern and put forth policies that are extremely unpopular. You have a democracy problem in France. And maybe one last thing just to mention is that maybe people remember these snap legislative elections that happened last year. Macron called for these elections. It seemed like after the results came down, France was split into really three blocks in the National Assembly, that finally This meant that Macron was going to maybe recognize that his agenda was not so popular in France, that it maybe was going to be time to compromise, and that maybe France would have to move towards what's called a system of cohabitation, having a president and a prime minister that have basically different political agendas. It's happened before in French history. That's not what Macron has done. And so what we're seeing is really the kind of lingering anger and pent-up frustration that goes back to that, that Macron's unwillingness to listen to what voters expressed at the polls last summer.
So, Cole, what are the issues? What I'm reading in the press here is that immigration is a big deal. There's a huge racist vote that's animated the Le Pen right for a long time. But also that Macron is trying to, dial back on pensions, on what we call Social Security, stuff like that. I mean, what specifically are the issues?
Yeah, so the big issue that's led to this government being toppled in the National Assembly has to do with this budget. Okay, so this is a budget that includes, I sometimes think the word is overused, austerity, but in this case, it really is an austerity budget. Bayrou, the prime minister, was trying to cut, past tense, 44 billion euros in spending. So targeting the healthcare system, which used to be the number one in the world, according to the World Health Organization, but has declined in quality because of budget cuts. So cuts to healthcare, cuts to unemployment insurance, removing two paid holidays and forcing people to work, freezing benefits, including retirement benefits. On all of this, coupled with a repeated refusal to raise taxes on the rich. You even had people on the left in France saying, you know what? Maybe France does have a little bit of a debt problem. We can't ignore it. Borrowing costs in France are rising. When Bayrou and his government say that France has high debt, they're not lying. France does have debt that's increasing. But then if that's the real goal, if the goal is to address that problem, then why would you not ask the wealthiest in France to contribute? You had a proposal on the table from the socialists and others on the left saying, if we really want to address the debt and budget deficits, why don't we put out a tax on the wealthiest individuals in France? A tax on people would have covered 1,200 people in France of the wealthiest, 2% tax on their wealth, called the Zucman tax, in reference to the economist Gabriel Zucman, who's often worked with Thomas Piketty, works in the United States at Berkeley. That was a non-starter. So this idea of austerity, refusal to tax the rich, that's led to the government downfall. And then you're right, Tom, when it comes to the far right, Marine Le Pen's party, because France is split really into three blocks. We have the Macronists, we have the left, and then we have the far right. They're all pretty evenly split. The far right has a deep opposition to immigration. Of course, it's pent up in other issues, but, I don't think we can ignore it. There's a deep opposition to immigration that thinks of immigration being the kind of source of all woe, the source of national decline. It's a nativist agenda that's quite similar in many ways to the Republican Party in the United States and Donald Trump. And, my last book that just came out in May in France, called Le Miroir Américain, The American Mirror, is looking at the similarities between American politics and French politics, which go back a long way, but are reflected today. This far right that's, increasingly Trumpist, obsessed with immigration, fighting these culture wars, and has a real kind of authoritarian impulse, in my view.
Now, here in the United States, supporting that kind of authoritarian right-wing worldview and by extension the GOP and Trump and the MAGA movement, we have major television networks bowing the knee to Donald Trump. You've got CBS, putting Weinstein, a right-winger apparently, in charge of what goes on the air. ABC paying Trump a big bribe, Paramount. We've got 1,500 right-wing radio stations. So, number one, we've got a right-wing media problem in America, and there is no left-wing parallel to that, really. The Republicans would tell you that NPR is, but it's they're just down the middle. And then we've also got a social media problem that's heavily contaminated by Russian and Chinese propaganda and bots and whatnot that are actually, in many cases, being promoted by the right-wing owners of these media sites, specifically Zuckerberg and Musk. What's that like in France?
No, it's a great question. You know, there's a saying people sometimes have in France, which is that, you know, everything comes from the United States, but 5 years later or 10 years later, it comes to France. First off, we do have a much more kind of, I'll start off on an optimistic note, a much more robust publicly funded media system in France. Mm-hmm. People want to cut it. The National Rally wants to, the far right Marine Le Pen party wants to completely privatize it, but it is still in place. So compared to the US, we have a very robust public TV and radio network that exists. So that's the good news. There's also subsidies to the press, which, you know, could be a double-edged sword. But the one way that the French media is becoming more Americanized, if you will, is that we have a ultra-right, very Catholic religious billionaire named Vincent Bolloré, who basically has created a media empire in the last few years, very similar to the one launched by Rupert Murdoch in the United States with Fox News. The most watched depends on what month you look at the ratings, but one of the most at least watched news networks in France is a network called CNews, and it's very, very similar to Fox News. You know, similar kind of style, similar focus on what the French call faits divers, so basically random bits of crime, but the crime stories are always kind of tied to a particular angle. They get you to be against immigrants and foreigners, so they'll talk about, you know, entertainment crime, but it always kind of has a political angle. They're going to, you know, rely mostly on invite right-wing people on, and very populist in a bad sense, in the sense that these media outlets are going to constantly criticize the Baudelaire ones, constantly criticize other media outlets and say they're part of this kind of liberal elite. It's a refrain, you know, that we hear in France too, this idea that the kind of public service media are a bunch of leftists in disguise, secretly trying to influence the rest of the country, and that they're out of touch. And the real French people watch CNews. That's sort of the kind of idea they're selling the viewers.
Interesting.
So that's alarming.
Yeah.
CNews, and we have print news outlets as well. So it is alarming, becoming more Americanized.
Cole, I just have 1 minute here before we hit a hard break. How's this going to play out? What's your prediction?
Well, I know you're never supposed to predict things, so I won't predict, but what is interesting is tomorrow, so the 10th, Wednesday the 10th, we have a big day of protests, and unions have called for another strike on the 18th. You know, France has this kind of tradition of protest, which is, you know, I think a healthy and good impulse, and that's what we're seeing more of. So the protests will be interesting to watch, and it's always important to remember, despite what maybe some of the foreign media suggest, or despite what the Macronists and Le Pen want you to think, there's a robust left that, you know, at least makes up a third of the French political spectrum, and it's incumbent on the left to stay united and to be able to articulate an alternative. And I'll sound like a broken record on this, but if the left wants to articulate an alternative, they're going to have to show that they're serious and stay united.
I know who Macron is, and I know who Le Pen is. Who's the leader of the left?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. Is there a leader of the left in France? You have a number of different kind of actors. Jean-Luc Mélenchon certainly fashions himself a leader of the left. Other people who are socialists and greens do as well. Marine Tondelier.
So it's like the same problem as America has. I mean, we've got Bernie Sanders, but, you know, he's not going to become the next president. Fascinating stuff. Cole, I'm out of time. I'm sorry. Cole Stangler. ColeStangler.com is his website, and on Blue Sky. Cole, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you so much, as always, Tom. Thanks.
Great talking with you.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
18 minutes past the hour, talk radio for the rest of us. I'll be right back with more of the news of the day and your calls. Stick around. Public education is the cornerstone of democracy, and right now that foundation is under attack. Across the country, lawmakers are pushing school vouchers to defund public schools, sending your tax dollars to private religious institutions. At the same time, they're forcing the Ten Commandments into classrooms and replacing trained counselors with unlicensed school chaplains. This is not protecting religious freedom. It's violating it. The Freedom From Religion Foundation is standing up for our First Amendment. FFRF uses legal action, education, and advocacy
to defend the separation of church and state and protect every student's right to a secular education. If you care about preserving democracy, truth in the classroom, and the Constitution itself, now is the time to act. Go to ffrf.us/school or text my last name, Hartman, with two N's, to 511-511 to become a member. Because public funds should fund education, not religious indoctrination. Text fees may apply.
Shop Furlough Mattress during our Labor Day sale. It's our biggest sale of the season. Get a free box spring with a mattress purchase. Or upgrade to an adjustable base and save even more. At Furlough, every mattress we make is factory direct and custom made locally for you. And it's backed by our lifetime comfort guarantee. Don't fall for the other guy's mattress gimmicks. Furlough has no middleman, so you'll get the comfort you want and save a whole lot of money. American made, locally crafted. Furlough.
Is your computer so slow you can hardly use it? Does it have blue screens, malware, viruses, reboots, hardware crashes? Sound familiar? Computers will have problems, and when they do, you need the computer experts at Madison Computer Works. Every day, we help home users and businesses keep their computers and networks running smoothly. For solutions to your computer problems, call the pros at 231-8000, and we'll turn this into this. Madison Computer Works. Computers that work for you.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. National Voter Registration Day is coming up on September 16th, with nationwide events to encourage eligible voters to register and check their registration. With no national election as incentive this year, organizers point to local and special elections and a readiness to vote in the 2026 midterms as reasons to consider registering or reviewing registration status. The U.S. Census estimates 174 million Americans were registered to vote in 2024 out of an eligible voting age population of 236 million citizens. Pew Research found 18% of non-voters cited not being registered as a major reason for not voting. For those who are registered, changes in election law, such as more frequent purges of inactive voter registrations and lack of citizenship documents on file, could potentially make millions of Americans ineligible prior to the 2026 midterms. Many states offer online tools to check registration status. National Voter Registration Day's organizers said in a statement that over 1,700 community partners and 3,500 local organizations will participate this year, including municipalities, schools, and support agencies. More information for interested community partners is available at nationalvoterregistrationday.org. We have links to the site and our past series on why more Americans don't vote at americandemocracyminute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. Hey, if you're a homeowner, you need to listen to this. In today's AI and cyber world, scammers are stealing home titles, and your equity is the target. Here's how it works. Criminals forge your signature on one document, use a fake notary stamp, pay a small fee to your county, and bang, just like that, your home title has been transferred out of your name. Then they take out loans using your equity or even sell your property, and you won't even know it's happened until you get a collection notice or a foreclosure notice. So when's the last time you checked on your home's title? If your answer is never, you need to do something about it right now. That's why I've partnered with Home Title Lock, so you can find out today if you're already a victim. Go to HomeTitleLock.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, and you get a free history report and a title history report and a free trial of their $1 million triple lock protection, which is 24/7 monitoring of your title, urgent alerts to any changes, and if fraud does happen, they'll spend up to $1 million to fix it. Find out why I trust Home Title Lock and protect yourself like Louise and I did. Go to HomeTitleLock.com/Tom, T-H-O-M. That's HomeTitleLock.com/Tom.
We dreamed of life, but the shadows grew taller in the silence of the night. He came with a promise, I'll make you great again. But he sold out the people for the gold of wicked men.
Welcome back. 25 minutes past the hour. Examining the authoritarian nationalism toward the U.S. That's the France thing. That was the title of Cole Stangl's piece. CBS has named former Hudson Institute CEO Kenneth Weinstein, or maybe it's Weinstein, I'm not sure, to serve as the ombudsman of CBS News. He has ties to government officials, which makes it kind of weird that CBS is putting him in charge. One person suggested the move appears to presage the arrival of Barry Weiss, the leader of the upstart digital site The Free Press, which is, I believe, the fastest, if not one of the fastest growing Substack newsletters. And she's in talks to sell her operation to Paramount. And there's this whole discussion that Barry Weiss might end up basically being in charge of programming at CBS. And Weinstein will review all this. So keep an eye on it. I don't know where this is going. And finally, a crazy alert. Donald Trump at the U.S. Open was seen with a blue pill between his teeth, which is kind of weird in and of itself. Usually you just pop it in your mouth. But, so on his side, they're saying, oh, yeah, it was a breath mint. Other people are going, blue pill. Let's see, blue pill. Oh, yeah, Viagra. Adderall. That's a blue pill, too. Valium, that's a blue pill. So what do you think the blue pill was that Donald was chewing on at the U.S. Open? I vote for Adderall, although he did apparently fall asleep during the game at one point. I mean, but he does that a lot. I mean, the guy is old and he's kind of feeble. His mind is slipping, his body is betraying him. So I suppose it could be just about anything. Anyhow, I'll pick up your calls on the other side of the break. What say you?
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Maybe they're making a combination Viagra and Adderall pill now. I don't know. We'll be right back with your call. Stick around.
Met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. That's 800-554-0206.
People ask all the time, who the heck is low-cost airlines? Well, we're not just one airline. When you're talking to us, you're talking to everyone. We are the discount supermarket for all airline tickets. Plus, we have all the airlines and always have the best prices. American, Delta, United, plus all the specialized international airlines and a lot more. And we make it easy. We guarantee you'll talk to a live human in 60 seconds. You can have the rates you need and have your trip booked in 5 minutes. Now, how cool is that? And remember, when you're talking to us, it's like talking to every single airline available with one fast phone call. All you need to do is call and find the best prices to fly wherever it is you want to go. So are you ready? Call Low Cost Airlines right now.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
I'm Stephanie Hoff, along with you midday on a Tuesday. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Market advisor John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing joins us ahead of the USDA's crop production report to be released on Friday. He said the recent dry weather might bring down yield estimates, but he's also worried about drop in demand for both corn and soybeans coming off the ground this fall.
Biggest thing I'm concerned about right now is just the logistics of just pulled out a lot of old crop corn. We got a lot of new crop corn coming. Actually, harvest has begun. We're 4% harvested nationally on this week's crop progress numbers. So that's going to be something that's going to weigh on this market because a lot of producers, unfortunately, are undersold here. But, you know, obviously the opportunities weren't there. So there's going to be some bushels moving around that are going to weigh on things. Soybean-wise, we need to see that Chinese demand still step into the market. We've been selling beans at a pretty good clip, but nowhere near where we need to without the Chinese stepping in, whether it's trade deal, whether it's just value, things of that nature. We're still waiting to see the business come together and get some of those beans at least moved to China. That'll be a big piece of the puzzle.
Market advisor John Heinberg along with us from Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. We'll take a look at midday commodity prices after this.
You can't do the same thing and expect different results. So here's some advice. Change the seed and you'll change the game. Zitavo soybean seed is the seed you've always wanted. It's been tested again and again, going through at least 12 quality control protocols because 11 wasn't enough, all to ensure that you get consistent performance from every seed that can pay off with better soybean yield. Zitavo soybean seed is ready to raise the bar for soybeans. Are you? Learn more at xitavosoybeanseed.com. Always read and follow label directions.
At the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, they know your business has always been something special. Now you can let customers know it too, in an instant, with the red and yellow Something Special from Wisconsin sticker. Joining the program gives you access to supplier and distribution information, marketing support, and a community of like-minded Wisconsin businesses. Best of all, you'll let people know that your work is done with care, quality, and love. You've always been something special. Visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to make it official.
Grain markets are trading lower midday on a Tuesday. December corn is down a half a cent at 421 and a quarter. November soybeans down a penny at 1032 and three quarters. And December wheat is trading 2 cents lower at 521 and three quarters. Fluid milk markets are mixed. The October Class 3 milk contract is up a penny at 1688 a hundredweight. The November contract, that's down 2 cents, but also trading at 1688 a hundredweight. Don't forget that you can continue to keep up on farm news and market stories at MidwestFarmReport.com. While you're there, sign up for our e-newsletter so that you don't miss a thing. That e-newsletter will deliver farm news to your inbox every morning. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly sunny and very pleasant today, with highs scraping the mid-70s and a light south breeze. Overnight tonight, chances for spotty showers, and they're gone for tomorrow. Sticking with sunshine, highs return right back to the upper 70s. Behind that, 80s take over for the weekend. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Share the Tom Hartman program with your friends. Our podcast, The Hartman Report, is absolutely free and available wherever fine podcasts are available. And the entire 3-hour podcast is available over at tomhartman.com.
So I knew we all have two ages, you know, our actual age and our body's internal biological age. What I didn't know is that I've likely lowered my biological age without even knowing it. Here's the thing, because Americans eat so many processed foods and not enough fruits and veggies, many, perhaps most, are 10 plus years older on the inside than their actual age. They're ticking time bombs. A major university study suggests how to slow aging and diffuse that biological time bomb. Participants slowed their aging by drinking Field of Greens. That's all. They didn't change their eating, drinking, or exercise. Just Field of Greens. I've noticed since I started using Field of Greens that I have more energy. Each fruit and vegetable in Field of Greens was doctor selected for specific health benefits like cell health, heart, lungs, kidneys, metabolism, even healthy weight. I feel great knowing Field of Greens can slow how quickly I'm aging, and I encourage you to join me. Swap your untested fruit, vegetable, or green drink for Field of Greens while there's still time. And check out the university study and get 20% off when you use the promo code TOM, T-H-O-M, at fieldofgreens.com. That's fieldofgreens.com, promo code TOM.
Can you feel the change? They're tightening their hold, pushing us to the edge of rage. Every law they break, every truth they steal, we stand on the edge, and it's too real. The grip tightens, it's cutting through the night. Can we rise, or will we lose this fight? They silence our voices, crush our dreams. The grip tightens, ripping at the seams. The grip tightens, can you hear the call? Will we fight back, or will we fall? It's time to rise, stand up and break. The grip tightens, it's choking you and me. Can we fight, or will we lose it all?
No Kings 2.0 is scheduled for the middle of next month, mid-October. The page is officially up over at mobilize.us, among others, so... interesting stuff. Earlier, we had a caller who was pointing out that Donald Trump won the Hispanic vote with about 48%. Currently, among Hispanic Americans, this is from a Pew Research poll that was done about 2 weeks ago, approval among Hispanic Americans sits at 27%, 70% disapproval, 51% say they strongly disapprove. That's, you know, that's a 34-point collapse. Which is pretty amazing. You know, I said, you know, when the caller pointed these statistics out, that I didn't think that, you know, that was going to be the case going forward. Apparently it's not. So what's on your mind today? Sue in Belmont, Michigan. Hey, Sue, what's up?
Hey, when I was talking to your ear,
call screener Mateo?
Yeah, I said, I follow Robert Reich a lot.
Yeah, he's got a great Substack newsletter.
Yeah, or on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
He's also on Blue Sky. Anyway, yeah. He had something, and I read it once before, but I wanted to bring it up again. It's called Five. If you're afraid of the growth of fascism, there are five things you can do. And I have them written out. Number one, Call your representative. He didn't mention senator, but it depends, I guess, on what the issue
sure.
is. Call him up. That was number one. Number two, go to or attend town halls. I attended one on the phone when Alyssa Slotkin was trying to make people know what's going on, you know, after the big, ugly bill.
Mm-hmm.
And then number three, join resistance groups like Indivisible, 50-51. I'm going to mention ACLU, but usually the protests are connected with the 50-51 and indivisible. Number four, boycott organizations that support Donald Trump. Paramount, McDonald's, Avelo. Avelo is an airline that takes
they're moving immigrants, yeah.
Yeah, so we've had a protest going on there. I haven't gone there, done that, but, you know, I try to do what I can. And there's letters that can go out to Avelo. And number five, protect the vulnerable. I guess protecting them by signing up and supporting things like ACLU, SPLC.
Yeah. Well, there's a bunch of local groups in Chicago in particular. I shared the name and actions of one of them earlier on. That's great, Sue. Thank you for sharing those that perspective.
Can I ask you one other thing?
Yeah.
And one other thing to do to support these people is videotape and document when they get done. But can you have Robert on there, because he may be able to answer some questions that I didn't cover.
Yeah.
Robert
is a great guy. He's been on the program a number of times. The door is always open to him. He's always welcome to come on this program. Sue, thanks for the call. Russell in Las Vegas. Hey, Russell, what's up?
Hey, Tom. I wanted to talk about Supreme Court, my idea for it, which is break the court up into three equal courts with either five or seven judges, accept all the documents for the next session, but the judges won't know what courtroom they're in until the very end of that session they're in. In other words, when they get people in there, you're going to be in courtroom A, you'll be in B, you'll be in C for each case. And the judges, towards the end of their thing, go into a lottery to see what courtroom they sit in.
Yeah. The problem, Russell, is that any kind of system you can come up with, whether it's, you know, let's expand the court to 13 people or 15 or 17, or let's do it like the circuit courts where you've got, you know, three judge panels and then you can go en banc, you can do the entire, you know, all nine judges, that kind of thing. Any of those structural remedies assume or rely on at least a majority of the judges actually caring about the law rather than politics primarily. And clearly that's not what we have right now with the six Republicans who are on the court. They are clearly wedded to their politics and their philosophy rather than the law and history. And, you know, if you try to come up with some new way, like, hey, let's go back to the American Bar Association and just do their endorsements rather than, you know, Leonard Leo's group, you know, nominating people. They'll just, you know, the billionaires will just figure out a way to corrupt the American Bar Association. To the best of my knowledge, it hasn't happened yet, although I think you could argue that ever since the 1930s, and I'm not sure when the ABA started doing the recommendations that were received by Congress, but it was probably around that time. But basically since the 70s, when Nixon put Lewis Powell on the bench, the American Bar Association has gone, you know, has been favoring pro-corporate judges. I mean, the entire Supreme Court has swung right since the mid-70s. So it's a hell of a lift, Russell. You know, we've got a system of government that at some level depends on people of good faith and goodwill. And that's really tough when you've got a bunch of right-wing billionaires dedicated to corrupting the system, including now Leonard Leo, who's got over $1 billion to play with. So, but I get what you're saying. Russell, thank you for the call. Tony in Long Island, New York. Hey, Tony, what's up?
Hey, Tom, how are you, sir? I was listening to the amount of Hispanics that had voted, well, roughly 49% in this recent election for Trump. However, I didn't. There's a breakdown there that I think is really a little bit more significance. I think that roughly, from what I've been told, and I'm a Hispanic male myself, and I travel around these circles, but approximately two-thirds of Cubans, as well as two-thirds of Venezuelans, swung towards Donald Trump. The reason being is that they both were under temporary protected status. And the unfortunate aspect of it is they thought they were, quote-unquote, and for lack of a better term, too white to be sent back.
Right, they thought they were safe, and Trump just deported a bunch of people to Cuba, didn't he? just like last
week. He did, as well as Venezuelans.
Yeah,
he's recidivist. So their hatred for other people that have come through has come back to bite them.
Yeah,
and that's why if you see that it's 27% that still approve of him, you have to ask yourself, who are those 27% of those people, Cuban nationals that have been here for years? You know, that's where you'll really find that answer. But the majority of Hispanics, aside from those that are covered under temporary protected status, would not vote for it. And a lot of them are feeling that that old cliche of FAFO. But the other thing I wanted to ask real quickly, if you don't mind, is you were speaking regarding expanding some of the Hispanic podcasts basically throughout the area. Since
radio stations too.
What should of them? Now, I believe Brian Tyler Cohen had created a 1630 fund where he takes no money from this, and through Chorus he was trying to literally give sponsorships to a bunch of people, a bunch of small time podcasters to help bring them up. Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of these other people, like Tim Lorenz, ripping them to pieces. You know, basically tearing the entire left down from the inside, which I find to be very sad because Tim Lorenz herself also benefited from the 1630 fund. She claims that David Pakman threatened to sue her, which is untrue because you should say that he's a multimillionaire. I'm like, but Taylor Lorenz is worth $2.5 million. How dare you say that about somebody? Mm-hmm. My question being is, do you think that having this animosity from the inside and having all these people jumping on this story for clicks is worthy of where we want to go as a progressive party versus what Brian is trying to do, which is trying to bring up a lot of podcasters from the bottom up who can't work 10 hours a day, and who need to have that kind of financial structure?
I don't know. And my experience, I mean, having built this show from scratch over 23 years, is that if you try to interfere in these processes, at least initially, you might shoot yourself in the foot. You know, I get it that Heritage was giving $2 million a year to Limbaugh and $1 million a year to Hannity, but that was after they had demonstrated that they had the talent to pull in an audience. So
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
I really think that there's something to be said for people knowing how to do what they're doing rather than just grabbing somebody because of their politics. We'll be right back. So you just got back from your summer vacation, right? Maybe even had to book two rooms because of your snoring. Some vacation, huh? Snoring can be an underlying cause of high blood pressure, heart disease, stroke, even memory loss. Introducing Zepa. That's Happy Z spelled backwards. Zepa is a doctor-designed mouthpiece that moves your jaw forward to keep your airway open. From now through the month of October, you can put an end to your snoring and save $10 on a limited edition pink Zepa. They'll even donate another $10 to the Susan G. Komen Foundation. Help Zepa reach their goal to raise $50,000 for breast cancer research by going to Zepa, ZYPPAH.com, and using the code PINK, or text my first name, Tom, that's THOM, to 511-511. Put your snoring on a permanent vacation and help a worthy cause with the snoring device I trust by visiting Zepa.com and using the code PINK or text Tom to 511-511. Remember, Zepa's Happy Z spelled backwards. Text fees may apply.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-859-3220. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-859-3220. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-859-3220.
800-859-3220. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-859-3220 or biglou.com.
Get ready, Madison. El Sazon Jarocho is now open on Plaza Drive. Five-star authentic Mexican cuisine. Fresh, homemade, and the best prices in town. See why one review said best tacos I've ever had in my life. El Sazon Jarocho. You won't leave hungry, just happy.
Lace up your sneakers, Wisconsin. The Walk to End Alzheimer's is coming to Madison on October 5th. Walk with WMDX in honor of someone you love and help us move closer to a cure. Registration is free and easy. Start or join a team today at alz.org/walk.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drug to driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
Hi, my name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires. I'm also the author of a new book, Burned by Billionaires, How Concentrated Wealth and Power are ruining our lives and planet. This summer proved to all of us that climate change is real and it is deadly. And I'm here to tell you that a small group of billionaires are making it worse. Did you know that billionaire Jeff Bezos' wife, Lauren Sanchez, emitted more carbon in her 11-minute Blue Origin space flight than the average person emits in a lifetime? Did you know that the average super yacht produces as much carbon emissions as 1,500 regular vehicles? And that private jets emit 10 to 20 times more pollutants per passenger than commercial airplanes? So who should pay for climate change? People like you who recycle and turn off the lights when you leave the room, or billionaires who take joyrides in space? Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. What if I told you most collagen products aren't just a waste of money? They're loaded with toxins that could lead to skin issues, heart problems, and even cognitive decline? Scary, but true. See, many collagen products, well, collagen is the most abundant protein in your body, and your natural supply drops as you age. And that's why so many people your age are turning to collagen to relieve joint pain, rebuild bones, and even look years younger. But here's the catch. You have to know what to look for. You could end up doing more harm than good. Before you buy another tub from Amazon or your local store, go check out the top five collagen warnings every American needs to see, along with a special offer. You can read it over at getnativepath.com/Hartman. It's a quick read. It could save your health and your wallet. And right now, I can get you a special bundle deal at a fraction of the retail price, plus free shipping. This offer is only available at getnativepath.com/Hartman. Get, G-E-T, Native Path, P-A-T-H, .com/HARTMANN. getnativepath.com/Hartman.
But the crime ain't here. It's the ballot they're afraid of, the people they fear. Voting machines in their sights, blue cities on the line. Democracy's the target, and they're running out of time. Militarize, intimidate, control.
Past the hour, picking up your calls here. Dan in Port Orchard, Washington. Hey, Dan, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. Thanks so much for taking my call. I appreciate that.
Sure.
First-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you.
And really enjoy your program every day and miss you when you're not there, but love it. Love it. Tom, I have a proposal to make. Russell made his proposal about the Supreme Court dividing the court into three courts.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a Supreme Court proposal to make for your listeners, for you and our great listeners. And it is rotating. First of all, I'm deeply opposed to a lifetime appointment or a job. Okay, I just do not agree with that.
The theory was that that would insulate people from political influence, but they, you know, obviously what the founders didn't anticipate is that some billionaire would come along to a Supreme Court justice with a lifetime appointment and offer them, you know, $250,000 RV and buy a new house for their mom and put their kid through school and take them on $1 million holiday. Yeah.
Yes, Tom, right on. And so here's my proposal, that each new president that is elected can elect, first of all, mandatory retirement for the top two Supreme Court justices. Mm-hmm. Okay, they're out. Okay, and everybody moves up. They rotate. Okay, and then the new president gets to elect two new Supreme Court justices.
Right.
This way we're rotating, and we're not becoming stagnant. Corruption is something that is has totally taken over the Supreme Court. And so this is what my proposal is, and I would like to see if our listeners can weigh in on that one.
Sure. Yeah, okay.
What do you think?
I think the solution over the short term is three things. Number one, term limits on Supreme Court justices. Mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. that after a certain number of years or after a certain age, 18 years seems like a reasonable one, that they should be forced back into the lower courts, back into the appeals courts. They still have a lifetime judicial appointment, so that doesn't require a change to the Constitution. Mm-hmm. The second would be imposing the code of ethics that applies to every judge in the country on the Supreme Court with an enforcement mechanism. And that would require an act of Congress, but it needs to be done. And the third is expanding the court. The court historically has reflected the number of circuits that are out there. When the court first started out, it was five people. There were five circuits. There are now 13 circuits, and we have 9 members of the court. I think we should have at least 13 members of the court, and you know, each member should be the head of one of those circuits. Right now, you've got members who are the heads in many cases of two circuits, and I just think that's wrong. So I don't see those things as a panacea. I don't think there's any panacea until we get money out of politics. But that code of judicial ethics could get money out of the Supreme Court. I mean, right now you've got Supreme Court members. You know, Sam Alito gets a first class all expenses paid trip to Europe. Clarence Thomas gets to travel around on yachts. We have no idea what's going on with the rest of them, but you know, odds are it's pretty skeezy. We just need to put an end to all that stuff and say, you know, you're a Supreme Court justice. That's your job, not, you know, feathering your own nest. Dan, I got to run, but thanks for the call. Great suggestions. On the other side of the break, why have people lost their faith in capitalism? What's going on with that? And your calls. So stick around. We'll be right back. We're hitting the top of the hour here.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
The John and Gordy Show.
Barbecue pits. What a nightmare. My dad had to buy this big plat of bricks. We didn't have just grills, you know, with covers on and pellet grills. We couldn't cover it, so everything had to burn on one side. So we're burning on the other side. So we had these giant brick grills. still can't get over that.
weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Dan Marcus is here. One of the snacks Dan likes called Sensen.
Kind
of
tart and sour.
The packaging is not great. I understand it's very old, but like you got, it's like a toffee fay or something. Like
it's like eating candy flavored charcoal.
Okay.
I am looking on Google and these packages that I'm looking at are...
Conrad likes to look at packages on Google.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Trump administration continuing to move forward with immigration operations in Chicago, threatening to deploy National Guard troops to the city. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker at a roundtable today with an immigration and refugee coalition says the city and state are facing challenges, but he says the community and law enforcement are doing their best to keep the city safe.
The reason that Tom Holman, the reason that Donald Trump, the reason that so many people, you know, are upset and want to attack Chicago is because we're winning.
President Trump not speaking further about a sketch attributed to him in a so-called birthday book for convicted sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein, denying it's real. Democrats on the House Oversight Committee released that sketch and are pushing to release the full Epstein files. Revised government figures showing U.S. businesses added far fewer jobs in 2024 and early 2025 than previously thought, indicating the labor market may have been significantly weaker. This is ABC News.